In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we celebrate the feast of the motherhood of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we must look at the doctrine because Mary is a virgin and a mother. She maintained her virginity before, during, and after the birth of our Lord. And she is truly a virgin. She is truly a mother, but not just any mother, for she is the mother of Christ, and Christ is the Son of God. If Mary is truly the mother of Christ, she is therefore the mother of God. Not that she precedes God, but she precedes God in his humanity. He took flesh from her flesh. He became one with us through the humanity of the Blessed Virgin Mother. And so it is important that we recognize this and avoid so many of the heretics who want to tell us that Mary is not the Mother of God. She is truly the Mother of Christ, the Mother of the Son of God. And this honor is hers, and we owe her that honor, that respect. And it is through honoring her with this title that we can hope to gain many graces, and even our eternal salvation hinge upon this fact. In the early days of the church, there was much discussion, argument, dissension about the person of Christ. Who is Christ? What is his nature? And the church has come forth and condemned the various errors and proclaimed very clearly, dogmatic, this is who Christ is. This is what we must believe if we are going to be saved. Christ is true God and true man. He is God who has come to this earth and taken upon himself human flesh. He is not a man that became God. He is God who became man. He is one person, one being. But yet he has two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. There's not two souls. There's not two personalities. There's one being. And after the church had hammered out all these definitions, the next difficulty, the next problem that faced the church is the definition of Mary. Who is she? What is she? What is her privilege? What is her title? She is truly the Mother of God. And she is our example. Specifically, I think she is the role model of every religious, but generally she is the role model of every Catholic. For what we hope to do in the souls of every Catholic that we baptize, we see as perfectly accomplished in the Blessed Virgin. When we look at her life, we know very little of her youth, but we see her as a young maiden, and the angel Gabriel appears to her, whispering to her, asking her if she will consent to God's plan. And we hear her fiat. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. And at that moment, the Holy Ghost descends upon her, and the child that she conceives is the Son of God. And throughout the rest of Scripture, there's no hesitation that she is the mother of Jesus Christ. Even before she has given birth, her cousin Elizabeth, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? I should be serving the mother of my Lord, not the mother of the Lord coming to help me. Already, Elizabeth knows by an inspiration of the Holy Ghost that Mary is the mother of God, the mother of our Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. In today's gospel, we see her come and speak to Christ as a mother. He doesn't reject her position of authority or the title of mother. We see throughout the scriptures that she is referred to as his mother. There is no doubt that she is his mother. And she is the mother of him who is God. I say that she is the role model of every religious, for what happens in the life of a religious. They hear, perhaps not audibly, but in the depths of their soul, they hear the angel, their guardian angel, perhaps whispering to them, "Will you give your life to God? Will you allow Christ to come and dwell within you? Will you carry Christ in your body, in your heart, in your soul?" And at that moment, the world sees nothing. The world knows nothing. But the religious knows there's something that is different now. The moment they've given their fiat, "Yes, I will be yours," Christ begins to dwell within them. A little tiny germ begins to develop and grow. And it can't be hidden for long. Before so long, people begin to notice there's something different about you. What are you thinking about? What's going on in your head? And the world doesn't know, but they can see that there's a transformation taking place. And perhaps it is the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, as it was with Elizabeth, who saw what was transpiring in Mary. She even felt the physical presence of our Lord, because St. John in her own womb leapt for joy at the sound of Mary's voice. This transformation takes place in the religious soul, and the world seems oblivious. Those most close or intimate might see, recognize the beginning of a transformation. Something is taking place. And hopefully the religious gets to the next step, and they apply for admission into the religious order. But it's not finished yet. Christ is not yet born. He is still being carried, hidden within. For now, the religious must go through a postulancy, through a novitiate, through temporary vows. And this hidden life of Christ is developing, is maturing, is growing. Just as our Lord's life was hidden. We speak of the hidden life of Christ, and that was the biggest part of his life. What do we know of the hidden life of Christ from the time he is born until he begins his public ministry at the age of 30? Really, the only information we have was just read to you at today's gospel, the finding in the temple. For basically 30 years, there's nothing said, nothing recorded. We have nothing. But yet, I will tell you, by today's gospel, we have everything. If I look at the life of Christ, and I understand that we learn better by observing than we do by hearing, show me, and I will know. Don't tell me. It's hard for me to put your words into pictures and to understand it and grasp it. But if you show me, then I will understand. Christ has shown us for 30 years how we should live, what we should do. You say, "But that was the hidden life. We didn't see it." You have it all summarized at the end of today's gospel. Our Lord went down with Mary and Joseph back to Nazareth and was subject to them. His hidden life was a life of subjection, submission, holy obedience. God was subject to Mary and Joseph, was subject to all civil authority for 30 years. Quietly, silently, hidden from the eyes of men. And so often in the religious life, those who make their profession and persevere to that stage, it is a hidden life. The world doesn't know what's going on. They cannot see the spiritual development, the spiritual progress. At least that's what should be taking place if they're conscientiously fulfilling their rule. There is a transformation taking place, but it is a transformation that's accomplished by submission. What does a religious learn through all those years but how to obey? How to submit? How to comply with orders and directions? How to adopt the spirit of the order? The spirit of the superior who is leading. The religious is learning that it is not enough to obey the very letter of the command. My superior said this, and therefore I'm going to do it. But I'm not going to do it one bit more or one bit less. I'm going to follow exactly what I've been told. That is not the true spirit. For the religious must learn, what is it? Not what my superior said, but what is it that my superior wants? He learns to become one in thought and desire with the spirit. This is what my superior wants. It may not be what he commanded me to do, but this is what he wants. And this is what I will do. I am obeying not the letter of the law. Well, I am obeying the letter of the law, but I'm going beyond and obeying the very spirit of the law. I am becoming one. I am learning to obey. I am learning to submit. I am espousing the humility of Christ. And this makes up the biggest part of the life of Christ. This takes up the biggest part of our own lives. For how many times do we have to learn to obey? How many times do we have to crush that spirit of rebellion within us? And I say this is the life of a religious. It follows almost perfectly the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary. For we conceive Christ within us. We keep him by our side. The life of Christ within us grows and develops and matures. But the majority of it is hidden from the eyes of the world. Yes, our parents and friends and relatives, the community, they might all know as we cross off each little milestone. We make our temporary vows. We finish our postulancy. We finish our novitiate. They might be there for those occasions. But they know nothing of what's happening to build up to those occasions or what comes after that occasion of that hidden life of the religious. But I say this applies to every Catholic. Before we are even baptized, our guardian angel is whispering into our ears, "Will you allow Christ to come into your life? Will you believe? Will you be baptized?" And it is a silent voice. Even if we're a little child and we haven't heard that voice directly, it has come to our parents. Will you allow Christ to come and dwell within the life of this child of yours? Or will you reject him? And as Catholics, either we or our parents and godparents before us have answered, yes, we have given our fiat. We have said, yes, Lord, here, behold your servant, behold your handmaid. We give you our bodies, our souls, our life, our very being. Come to us. We've renounced Satan, all his works. We've renounced the world. And we have given ourselves completely to you. And tragically, so often this conception that takes place in our hearts and souls, when Christ is conceived in our hearts, in the depths of our soul, when the Holy Ghost comes and makes our souls his temple, the dwelling place of God, too often we go seeking to abort him, to murder the life of Christ within us by mortal sin. And we chase him out. I don't want you. But God doesn't give up on us. He returns and asks again, will you once again allow me to come within you? Will you repent of your sins? Will you be truly sorry of your sins and let us start again? And as many times as we fall, our Lord is there whispering. Our guardian angel is encouraging us. Will you let me come and live within you? And the whole goal is for us to reach the point of the Blessed Mother, not only where we say, yes, I will, I give my consent, do with me according to your will, but then to allow that life to continue, to witness it develop within us, even if the world can't see it, even if the world knows nothing, our family, our spouses, our children, our parents, even if they can't see it, to allow that life of Christ to develop, to grow, to learn from Christ, to follow him, and to be subject to our parents, to our teachers, to all authority, because all authority comes from God. Those who have power over us have power over us because God has placed them there, even if they're evil, even if they abuse that power. We must obey them in all things except sin, because it is God who has given them that power. It is God who has given them that authority. And we need to learn to recognize that. And I think the greatest encouragement for us is to behold the hidden life of Christ. When Mary looked at the life of Christ, the world did not know that this child of hers was the Son of God. That was her secret. That was her treasure. But the scriptures tells us over and over again that Mary saw these things that Christ did. She heard his words and she kept them in her heart. She pondered them, thought of them frequently, ruminating them over and over again in her heart and soul. They were precious treasures that she took out from time to time, held them in her hands and appreciated them, beheld their beauty, their wisdom, their true value. To most of the world, they went right past their head, right over their head, as they say, but not the Blessed Mother. She held on to them because Christ was with her, was within her, was always near her. And if the religious, if the Catholic, has allowed Christ to come and dwell within them, they begin to see the world in a completely different way. So many things the world will see, so many things the world will hear, and they forget it. It goes right over their head. But to those who love God, to the religious that's been cultivating the spirit of Christ within them, to the Catholic where the soul of Christ is dwelling within them and near them, we see the things of the world and we see the hand of God. We see something that is beautiful, something that is wise, something that is profound. We begin to see these things as real treasures. If I look at St. Francis of Assisi, most of the world sees a naturalist, a man whose love with the world, with nature, the trees and the birds and the fishes. And I say, no, you've missed the whole point. He wasn't a hippie. He didn't love these things in themselves. No, St. Francis of Assisi, he saw a tree. But within that tree, he saw the wisdom of God. He saw a reflection of the beauty of God. He saw not the tree, but the one who made the tree. The perfection of the tree was a reflection of the perfection of the one who made it. The tree is not God, but it speaks of God. This hidden message was obvious to St. Francis. The trees and the birds and all of creation spoke to him of God. It is God speaking to us constantly, in a hidden manner, in a secret manner. And only those who have Christ dwelling within them can grasp it. The rest of the world has missed it. Even the scientist who's going to dissect the tree, analyze its chemical makeup, see the different cells in there and study and quantify and label the photosynthesis, the chlorophyll, all that's taking place, the transformation of carbon dioxide into the carbon of its being, making it into simple sugar and transforming that into the bulk of the tree. Its whole process of reproduction, they can say, oh, see, isn't how nature amazing? Isn't it wonderful? And I think for the majority of those scientists, they've still missed it. They've cut it up and examined it under a microscope as finely as they possibly can. They can color the cells and say, see, this is a nucleus. This is the cell wall here. This is what's transpiring, and they've missed everything. It is still hidden from them. They know nothing until they can see the reflection of God. Until it reminds them of God's presence, of His work. That this tree did not make itself. There isn't some vague force out there called nature that's keeping this tree alive and making it grow and reproduce. There's something beyond all of this. And all of this is a reflection of God. It is only those who are quiet and are listening to the voice of the angel speaking, and then answer that angel, yes, I am God's servant, allow him to come within me. Only those who allow the life of Christ to develop within them, to be by their side, even though it's hidden from the world and no one else can see it or appreciate it, they know. I have Christ beside me. They avoid chasing Christ out because they want him there. They're not going to abort him through mortal sin, but they're going to do everything to avoid it. I want Christ beside me. I want to hear his words. I want to see his life. I want to see his action. He begins to reveal himself to them little by little. And those favored souls become just like the Blessed Mother. And they ponder the things that God has said, the things that God has shown them. And the more they ponder these things, hold them in their heart, the more they see, the more they understand, and the more they love. And with the religious, hopefully they reach a point when they finish this hidden life, not that the hidden life disappears, but it begins to manifest itself publicly. The religious sister begins to enter into the classroom and to teach little children, to show them Christ as she has found them in the hidden life, in her own life, in the convent, in the world around her. The same with the brothers, but especially with those who reach the priesthood, that clerical vocation. They should reach a state when now they can speak, they can teach, they can tell us what Christ would tell us. They become the voice of Christ. They make Christ present upon the altar, not for themselves, but to give Christ to others, so that the life of Christ is now public, manifest. This life of Christ was within the Blessed Mother, and we see that she, when Christ, even in his public life, led a very hidden life and still in the background. And many souls, that's okay, but within the apostles, that is transformed into a public life, into a public ministry. Not everyone does exactly the same thing. Not everyone follows and imitates the exact steps that Christ is has led out or laid out for us. Each one of us has a special vocation, but each one of us must have the life of Christ within us. And that life is mostly a hidden life. No one else sees but God. No one else really knows but God. And that should really be enough for us. It is not necessary that the world know all our virtues, all our goodness, all our sacrifices. Don't do these things for the world to see, but practice these virtues in secret. And your Heavenly Father, who sees and knows all things done in secret, he will reward you. So as we honor the motherhood of Mary, I ask you to consider her life and ask yourself, how does my life compare? I have welcomed Christ into my life by my baptism, by the belief in the true faith, but have I kept Christ near me? When he is separated from me, have I gone in search for him, feeling that pain as the Blessed Mother did when she was separated from him for a few days? Do I welcome him back into my life and treasure his words, treasure what he has shown me? If not, if I find that Christ is far from me, then let me return to the Blessed Mother, back to square one, and once again give my fiat and begin this hidden life once again, this life of grace. And hopefully we will one day reach eternity, and the life of Christ within us will be known to all of creation. And we will know with the Blessed Mother much more than we know now. Everything will be made clear. Everything will be made manifest. Don't worry about telling the world now. God knows. It's all recorded. And we will give an account on Judgment Day. And hopefully it will be an account as beautiful as the account of the Blessed Mother. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendet super vos, et maneat semper. Amen.